This is Phil Barron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today, short week this week, Labor Day. I'm going to turn on the air conditioner because I actually have air conditioning, and it's a little warm in the car. Short week this week with Labor Day. Labor Day did give me a good chance to pound through some corrections. I have many more to go. Books and books of corrections. I have all the books stacked up on my floor, and plenty of them have dog-eared pages. So there's going to be much to do. But overall, people seem to have enjoyed the start of this series, and I certainly enjoyed writing it, and I'm certainly looking forward to getting the 99 and 1 done so I can get back to Windfall Broadcast. So the writing, you know, it's puttering along. And I had, you know, I had, again, someone this week asked me, I think it was this way. I said, so now, do you actually know where this is going? And I said, well, I've got the broad arc, you know, and I said, I know where we end. And I've actually been pondering that again this week, the ending, because, you know, you have to land well. You don't necessarily have to land where people expect you to land. But after they get over the shock of you landing someplace that they didn't expect, then they need to be able to step back and go, okay, that's coherent. Or in other terminology that I use, it's defendable. That when you look at the larger scope of things, it's defendable. One of the series is that I'm not sure the ending was defendable on was Lost. Lost had so many things going for it, and it was so interesting and intriguing. Like, what's going to be the answer? What is going on? Where are they? Are they are this? Are they that? You know? Yeah. What? You know, and then they got into that last season, and it was like, what is going on? And then the big ending, and it was like, oh, yeah. That's one of those things that I think even after everybody kind of went through the ending, it was like, oh. So I don't want it to be that way. So I'm thinking a lot about the ending. But also because where the series ends is a very, very interesting place for humanity. So it's going to be interesting to see. You don't actually have to write the ending, obviously, for, I don't know, 12, 14 years. So I got plenty of time to think about it. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Anyways, so got some good stuff done this week on editing the 99 and 1. I'm hoping to get some more good editing done this weekend. I'm hoping, once I sort of plow through these first couple of books and get most of the stuff out of the way, that this is going to start going faster. It usually does, because I've learned over time to turn on track changes, and then I've also learned over time, which, in case you don't know, on track changes on Word, instead of simply replacing what you type, it will show you the old version, the new version, and anything you delete has a strike-through line on it. And then your new stuff is just put beside it. And it's in red, so it's easy to spot. And it's easy to look and go, oh, okay, that's what I changed. In addition to that, I build an Excel spreadsheet that gives me, what the page number was in the book, and then what the page number is in the document. And that's very useful, because then I can lay the books in front of me and start paging through the books and go, okay, that's about this, and that's about that page number, and then I can go and spot check and see, is it there already? Has that correction been made? And so it, once I start getting more and more corrections in, it's more of a double check, and it starts going faster, which is good. Because at this rate, I wouldn't have this book out until the end of the year. But I think it'll start going faster after I get through that stuff. So, anyway, so that's good. It's going well. I'm already kind of starting to think about the next Windfall book because I'm over halfway through. I think I'm halfway through the Windfall broadcast. So now it's like, okay, where are we going next? Where are we going next? And I know what's supposed to happen in this book. Sort of. There's a big crucial development that's either going to happen in book 3 or book 4. It's probably going to happen in book 3 unless book 4 takes off and takes on a mind of its own. Then it'll happen in book 4. Never mind. This conversation is me just rambling now because none of this will make much sense until I actually get it done, which is not going to happen for, you know, a year. Anyways, so the writing has gone well. This has been an interesting week. I've been scrambling along at work, getting together a demo. I have a meeting next Thursday with a bunch of the department heads at my major client, demonstrating how I think we're going to be automating some of the very complex business logic that they have, and hopefully improving the lives of the financial processors. It does look like that's going to work. And it looks like it's going to work well. But there's going to be a whole lot of time that's going to go into the care and feeding of that beast to keep it going. I'm having a meeting with the department heads, the managers, so I can say, okay, here's how we can do it. I just want to double check that this is beneficial before we undertake this, because it's going to be a lot of work. My guess is going to be they will say, yes, absolutely, this will be beneficial. Because what they're doing now is hard. It's very, very hard, and they're having to handle all the complexity manually. And that leads to a lot of stuff. Lot of extra work. So that's going well. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that has come up this week over and over again, maybe a little more so this week, or maybe I just haven't necessarily mentioned all the times in the past, but the communication and the communion with Jesus pointing me in the right directions. You know, there are times when I'm working on this stuff that's out on the edge that I'm just thinking, oh, Jesus, help me not to waste my client's time. And sometimes, you know, you go out to the Google and you get out there on the Google and you find an answer, and then you come back and it doesn't work, and everybody said it's supposed to be working. And I had one of those this week that I had to chase my tail for a while on. I eventually figured out, or found out, that the version of Bootstrap that I was working with was version 3.0, Well, I thought it was 3.0, so I was searching for 3.0, when in fact it was 3.1. And in fact, between 3.0 and 3.1, there was a fairly major change that was made, so that if you were trying to do something with 3.0, it wouldn't work. So I'm like, okay, I'm doing what they're saying. And it just was not happening. And I was going back and forth and looking at other examples, and everything looked like it was supposed to work. But as soon as I put in 3.1 on the Google search, I was like, ping, hey, there it is. Okay, great. But then, of course, I had to take all the other pieces and make them work in that. So it was, you know, it's pretty challenging. But it's always fascinating because, you know, even when I'm kind of backed into a corner like that, when I'm just getting ready to think, this isn't going to work, you know, I just keep kind of chipping away at it. And it's like, well, you could check here. Well, you could check there. And then why don't you try this? And pretty soon, you know, light opens up out of the sky and there it is. And now it's working. I had a situation today where I had a bunch of rows. It was on the web, so I built a table and a bunch of rows, and it's used striped tables out of Bootstrap so that you've got alternating row colors so that it's a little easier to track. But I wanted it so I could just click on any of those rows and it would highlight the row and keep it highlighted so you could scroll back and forth, because there's a lot of fields in this row and they just go on and on and on forever. And so I went and found my example and, you know, ta-da-da, you know, and put it in there and clicked. And then it would only work about every fifth click or so. I finally found something else that would work, you know. And so I was doing a little more looking, and then it was like a little whisper, oh, yeah, you got to do that on the TD element, not the DRL. Oh, okay. So, you know, I did that. And then it was working mostly, except it was only working on the white-colored rows and not the gray-colored rows. And then I could search for that. So I searched for that. Sure enough, ding, you know. And then, you know, one thing leads to another one thing. Finally, it's like, hey, there it is. But then when you look back at it, all the little pieces I had to do to get the thing working, people would look at me like, why would you do it that way? Well, because you take any of those pieces out, it's not going to work. So I try to make sure to document all these things. But it's just amazing to me, you know, that it eventually all works out. It's just amazing. So anyways, that was good. As I said, we had an exciting week this week. So exciting. I didn't actually prepare any notes for this podcast. I just thought, you know what? This is going to be one of those weeks where we're just winging it. We had a thunderstorm come through Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. I mean, it was like boom, boom, boom. It was close, too. We were getting close lightning strikes. Got up Wednesday morning and no internet. And that's when I wish I was in Kansas City with Google Fiber. And it was coming right to my door and I didn't have to worry about it. Just like I'd call up Google and say, Google, fix it. So I started chasing it down, and I spent an hour before heading into work on Wednesday trying to figure out exactly whether the problem was my problem or my service provider's problem. I concluded that it was my service provider's problem, and they're good about getting things fixed, and so I thought, well, fine, you know, it'll come up. So I got a text both from my wife and my daughter towards the end of the day. You know, we still don't have internet. So I called the service provider on the way home, and sure enough, they were up. Everybody was up. It's like, oh, rats. Okay, it is us. So then I got home Wednesday night, started, you know, slogging through it. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And was able to find out, happily did have an extra unit for the one that had gotten blown, because we have a little rock house where all the stuff comes in from the tower, but then we've got to get it from the rock house over to our houses, and we use what's called a Ubiquiti nano station for that. And what was really interesting was that Wednesday morning, as I was checking out all the various settings on things and trying to determine whether or not, you know, something was correct, I had this little thought, you know, you have not gotten screenshots of all of these settings. And if you had to replace one of these things, you know, that would be a mess. And so part of the hour that I spent was methodically going through and taking screenshots of not only the access point, but the subscriber modules as well, just to make sure I had that information captured. Well, what was interesting is, God, at that point, I didn't think that I was going to have to replace one of those replace the access point, but in fact, once I got home and figured it out, yep, I do. And then I thought, you know what? I have screenshots of everything. And so since I'd already done that work, it was still a little tedious to get all the settings correctly, but at least I had a map. You know, I could just march through it and get it. And so got that all set up, took it down, got it hooked up, you know, got back home, called my wife, said, do we have internet now? And she said, yep, looks like it's back up. Yay. My kids didn't have internet as of last night, unfortunately. But their unit may have gotten blown as well. So we're going to get that taken care of. And once we get that taken care of, then we should be in pretty good shape. So the good thing about all of that is there were several places along the way on this whole thing that, you know, if it hadn't been for the little whispers guiding me this direction, guiding me that direction, I would have just been stuck. And I have no idea what my life would be like if it consisted of having to struggle along by myself. I was talking to my beloved about this the other night, on Tuesday night, and she said, oh, I know. She said, I have no question that Jesus talks to me through the day. She said, because when I'm not listening for him, she said, I do things like I just did, and that was... I forgot to put the little thing back in her new coffee maker. And she said, and then I ran some coffee through it. And now I have coffee grounds everywhere because I didn't put this little piece in, you know, that was supposed to go in. And she said, whenever I'm not listening, she said, I do stupid things like that. I said, yeah, I know. I said, I do those things too. So it's just, wow, so much better to just stay calm, listen, you know, try to not react and get all upset about things, but just keep puttering along, stay calm. Don't panic. I'm backing into my garage. I just need to make my sign that says, just don't panic and listen to for Jesus. The rest of it works out okay. And I am once again grateful this week at just how kind God has been this week, because it has been a busy week. and had a lot of things to do and didn't quite get as much editing done as I wanted, because I got just a little bit done Tuesday night, and, you know, then Wednesday was blown, and Wednesday I didn't get to exercise in the morning, didn't really do a good full exercise in the evening. But, you know, it's all fine, it all works out. And eventually, we're going to get, I think, to that grand place that I'm going to be writing about in, you know, 14 years or so. And that's going to be good. That's going to be very, very good. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.